Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, and the grandmothers, and the kids who have mothers, and the adults who have mothers, and we all had mothers at some point, so praise God. I hope that you mothers celebrate today, and that you are celebrated, because we all know that motherhood is not for the weak, the wimpy, or the faint-hearted, is it? By the way, today my mom's going to be visiting, and I just want to say that I'm thankful for my mom. She was a safe harbor for me in a big world. Let's pray. Father God, I love you, and I just pray right now that you would put power into these words, that your Holy Spirit would just come and be with us now. Thank you, Lord. Love these people and spur them on. I know your word never returns void. I trust in you now, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Well, one day a teacher gave her class of second graders a lesson on the magnet and what it does. And the next day she gave them a written test, and she included this question on the test. My full name has six letters. The first one is M. I pick up things. What am I? When the test papers were returned, the teacher was surprised to find that almost 50% of the students had answered the question with the word mother. That was funny. Another teacher was preparing students to make Mother's Day cards and asked this question, what kind of little girl was your mom? And the student replied, I don't know, because I wasn't there, but my guess would be she was pretty bossy. Our children get the best of us and the worst of us, don't they? I actually do love being a mom, even though I don't think it's always fun. I love the pillow fights and the late night talks and the fits of giggles and dancing, the catching of the insects, the pet memorials, the swim parties, and the building of the forts. Those are all fun things, and I don't think I would see the world in the same way had I not had this experience as a mom. I've learned tons from my children. I'll tell you a few humbling moments. We obviously don't ever really have it all together as a mom. This was a day we were in the car and suddenly our plans had all changed. And I was trying to figure out how to orchestrate the day. And Riley was sitting in the back seat, and I hear a little voice say, oh, it's okay, Mom. After you pray, just let me know what you and God decided. That was kind of a humbling moment. I felt like saying, well, I was just processing outside. Give me a minute. We'll pray. But it is nice how our children will remind us of the simplicity of faith. They keep us grounded. One of my favorite moments with my oldest daughter, was when I was having a very difficult day, and I'd gone into my room to pray, and I hadn't shut the door all the way. And I was standing against the wall, I was standing against the wall and praying and crying, and Taylor walked in. And she quickly said, oh, I'm sorry, because she realized she'd interrupted my moment with God. And then she gently walked right up to me, and she grabbed my hands, and she said, do you want to pray? And there I stood, and she prayed this amazing, straightforward prayer, and I was just speechless. I felt like my daughter had crossed over, and she was another woman of faith, and we were going to take hands and walk this journey together. It was a profound moment, one a mother never forgets. Oh my goodness. Mother's Day can bring up a lot of emotions, and I really wanted to be tender to that for you people. Motherhood can be an accident for some and not a welcomed event. Sometimes biological motherhood isn't possible. Sometimes our mothers aren't the caring, loving people we had hoped. Maybe some of us are sitting here missing our moms. For some, maybe motherhood right now is a painful journey with some broken dreams and some losses and grief. I want to be tender to that. And I want to just say, with all the pitfalls and the broken dreams and the poopy diapers, and the tearful moments and the spoiled plans, that motherhood really is a beautiful idea of God's. And that it is part of God's plan to bring love and compassion into our lives. Truly, a mother's love is a glimpse of God Himself. It is His heart and His compassion and His love and His strength that makes good mommies. You know, the moment a child is born or adopted, that a mother is also born. She never existed before. The woman existed, but the mother is something absolutely new, a new creation in God. When a woman becomes a mother, her heart is transformed forever. Once a mother, always a mother. Basically, her heart explodes with love. We can't even help ourselves. I can remember times when I would stare at my daughters while they were sleeping, and I could feel my heart just well up inside me. I'd become overcome by the immense responsibility of protecting them and loving them and guiding them through this life. And I would be in awe of the treasure God had placed in my life. And I'd just burst into tears. As a mother, you realize you would sacrifice almost anything for your child. Of course, the sacrifices start early with sleep deprivation and lack of personal time. Raise your hand if you have ever yet gone to the bathroom by yourself since your children were born. I think the bathroom becomes the chat room. I'm not quite sure what that is, but they know they have a captive audience in there. Well, I want you to think about mothers in nature. This is for you guys out there that are outdoorsy. I'm trying to keep you with me here. Mama duck calls to her ducklings so that they'll follow her to the food and to the water. And if a hungry fox or a predator comes near, the mother duck quacks out an alarm saying freeze to her baby ducklings. Meanwhile, the mama duck tries to lure the fox away from the ducklings by pretending she has a broken wing. It is her instinct to give her life for her young. And the male is out there hunting and providing. The woman is nesting and protecting. This is the kind of willing sacrifice that God puts in the heart of a mama. Years ago, a young mother was making her way across the hills of South Wales, carrying her tiny little baby in her arms. She was overtaken by a blinding blizzard. She never reached her destination, and her body was found later after the blizzard had subsided in a mound of snow. But they discovered that she had taken off all her outer clothing and wrapped her baby in it. And by their surprise and joy, they found the baby alive and well. She had mounded her body over his and given her life for her child. She showed the depths of her mother's love. Years later, that child, David Lloyd George, grown to manhood, became Prime Minister of Great Britain and without a doubt one of England's greatest statesmen. It's such a tragedy that this boy had to grow up without his mother, and yet I don't think he ever questioned his mother's love for him. I'm sure her sacrifice helped determine the leader and man that he became in that one amazing act of love. There is something about a mother's love. It is a safe harbor. Abraham Lincoln once said, "Who is it that loves me and will love me forever with an affection which no chance, no misery, no crime of mine can do away? It is you, my mother." In the Old Testament, we find another exceptional mother who also was not allowed much time with her son. I'm sure you know of her. Her name is Hannah, and she was unable to have a child for many years. She was married to Elkanah, who was also married to Peninnah. And Peninnah was not very nice. She taunted Hannah about being barren. And in 1 Samuel 1, we read about this. "In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord, and she made a vow, saying, 'O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life.'" So in the course of time, Hannah did conceive, and she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, meaning because I asked the Lord for him. She asked. After he was weaned, though, which in those days was about 3 years, that's a long time. But while he was young, she took the boy with her to the house of the Lord and brought the boy to Eli the priest. And she said to him, I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. She then went home without her son. He stayed with Eli, and the Bible says the boy ministered before the Lord under Eli, and that was the Lord's will. Oh my goodness, that would be extremely difficult as a mama. By the third chapter, we hear that Samuel hears the voice of God, and God speaks directly to him and gives him a vision. And in verse 19, we see that the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground, and all of Israel recognized that Samuel was a prophet of the Lord. Samuel grew to be a mighty man of God. And even though he did not grow up with his mom, I'm sure he never questioned his mother's love either, or her love for the Lord. Again, her sacrifice greatly affected the direction of her son's life. We have a great responsibility in molding our children's lives. It begins and ends with selfless love. Hannah had tremendous heartache, a strong faith, persistence in prayer, and amazing self-sacrifice and obedience. She was faithful to give Samuel up to the Lord at such a young age, and as she did, she praised God, and she prayed, "There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God." Here's the key to Hannah's strength. The supreme source of her joy was not in her child, but in the God who answered her prayers. Now, we have joy in our children. They're just a gift. But the key here is that her joy was first in God the giver. I celebrate Hannah and her example to me as a mother. To not stand in the way of the will of God in our children's lives is very important. God was her stability and her rock, and I'm sure that is the only way she could follow through the way she did. I remember when our family went on a mission trip to Scotland. Riley was 3 years old and Taylor was 11 at the time. We were at a church barbecue shortly before leaving, and a woman said to me, "I can't believe you're taking your three-year-old with you." She didn't think it was a good idea. And I remember answering her kind of weakly because I had my own doubts at the time. But as I drove home, I felt the Lord impress on me that it was his will and I was not to doubt him. Riley ended up being one of the best travelers in the whole group on all those long plane rides. It was amazing. She loved Scotland and she still speaks of it. She sat in my groups while we did VBS, and one day we prayed for one another, and a couple of the young girls received Christ. Riley didn't want to pray that day, but 1 week later exactly, we were home, and she brought that prayer time up, and she said she wanted me to pray with her and to receive Christ. So she climbed up in my lap, and at the age of 3, she began her walk of faith. She accepted Christ as her Savior. That was the Lord's will. Another day, while in Scotland, we were supposed to do some street witnessing, and I watched Taylor, who was 11 at the time, walk away from me down the street that was lined with pubs on both sides with a small group of young adult Christians. And everything in me wanted to run after her and say, "No, don't go." Explosions were going off in my head. What good parent would allow this? This is not safe. And Jeff quietly held my hand. And I sensed the Lord's correction and comfort to me. I said, "You have laid the foundation. She's mine." I surrendered her that day. To this day, she has a heart for people and serving in missions. God forbid we ever get in the way of our Heavenly Father's plans for our lives or our children's. There are some important things I learned from Hannah. First and foremost, her joy was in her Heavenly Father. She loved God. She put him first before anything and everything. And she knew how to be real with God and persistent in prayer. She wept before him. Whether you're a single parent or have a spouse parenting with you, I encourage you, don't parent alone. Bring God into every moment you can. He's the Heavenly Father. We are just stewards over our children. I have prayed over my children for years as they sleep. Please, Father, do not let go of their hearts, because the task is bigger than I am or Jeff together. He has been faithful to draw them back even when they were bent on rebelling. The enemy and the world are screaming at our children continually, and the best way to fight that battle is on our knees. We are to pray without ceasing in the Spirit. And by doing so, we as parents gain grace and unconditional love and wisdom, and it heightens our joy in the process. It makes it that much more fun. And even in the hard times, then we feel like we're being carried and we're given hope when hope really isn't there. And then also, we must surrender each of our children and our own lives to our Heavenly Father. And it's a daily task, I think. We have to let him make the to-do list for the day and let him set the mood and tone of the day. Then we will be able to rejoice in the midst of the self-sacrificing, just like Hannah did. We're to realize we are not in control. We keep trying. We keep deceiving ourselves. We're going to take control. We're going to take care of it. That's God's place. He's sovereign. God is miraculous, and his desire is to bless us. And if you're mourning time, a short time with your children, not long enough, just remember, he's the redeemer of time. Hannah didn't have that long with her son, and there was this amazing impact. Trust in God to do an amazing work, even in a short amount of time. He's sovereign. Rejoice in the freedom we have to say, "Here, Father, take our children," and let him be that rock. Let's pray. Father God, I hope that these words will encourage someone in this room. I thank you, God, that you are in control and we can really rest in your arms when we don't know what to do next, when we've lost hope. And we can rejoice, Father, that you are faithful. I thank you in Christ's name. Amen.